Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
A two-day special European Council meeting is being held today and tomorrow in Brussels, being attended by Taoiseach Simon Harris and also the Minister for European Affairs and Defence, Jennifer Carroll McNeill. The Iran-Israel conflict and the Gaza humanitarian crisis will dominate discussions, as will the recent warnings by Ukrainian President Zelensky that Ukraine will lose the war if more funding does not come through. Well, just before coming on air, I was joined from Brussels by Jennifer Carroll McNeill, European Affairs and Defence Minister, and I asked her first about dire warnings about Ukraine losing its war against Russia.
But there is going to be a very serious discussion on Ukraine today about the different forms of support that can be given, the coalescence of defence and other supports that can be given to Ukraine to enable it to get through this particularly difficult period. I'm speaking obviously in advance of the leaders' meeting, and but this will be a strong focus of the European Council meeting today.
Zelensky has also warned that in the coming weeks he thinks Russia is going to increasingly draw nuclear weapons into the discussion to threaten and rattle them.
The situation in Ukraine is at a very grave point, and obviously the discussions in Europe reflect that. It's very clear that Ukraine is under pressure. It's very clear that Europe has responded and will continue to respond, and we will see more detail on that from the leaders today and tomorrow. The Ukraine Assistance Fund is a very significant signal of that commitment, and obviously Ireland continues to play a very strong role in that in terms of humanitarian support, as well as providing funding for non-lethal measures to be of support to Ukraine. We are very clear in our political support for Ukraine, and indeed that's reiterated by the Taoiseach's call and discussion, very detailed discussion with President Zelensky last week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Ireland's position is very clear on this. You can see that there's a very strong programme of support within the European Union for this. This is obviously a special, different European Council meeting that was originally focused on the single market, and of course that will also be discussed. But it's very, very clear that the threat of Russian aggression, of further Russian aggression, not just in Ukraine, but right across Europe, right across the Baltic States, right across Poland, is right at the front of European leaders' minds, and support for Ukraine has never been more important.
Yeah, so the support is there, but the problem is, as we've just discussed, President Zelensky believes he's going to lose the war without the US funding. And I know you said that the EU have taken action, and they have. The EU has put in place sanctions, but those sanctions haven't worked, have they? I mean, we're on our 13th packet of sanctions against Russia after 2 years of war. There's really no indication that that has done a whole lot to stop them.
Well, I think what you see, though, is, okay, you're right, we're going into our 14th package of sanctions, and that's certainly been disruptive. But don't forget that the European Union is not the only place with which Russia had previously engaged and where it remains engaged. There is a rest of the world that is engaged with Russia. And so European sanctions go as far as they can, and they're continually being revised and improved to target weaknesses in those sanctions packages, loopholes within them. And that's absolutely true. But we are not actors on our own, and Russia is engaged with other parts of the world, and receiving assistance of different kinds from other parts of the world. So we have to reflect on how much we can do and be as strong as we can. But we are part of a global world, not dominant in it.
So there seems to be a helplessness there then about what might happen next, because we can't force the US to give for the funding that Ukraine needs to stop it from losing the war. You're saying that the EU has done as much as it can and gone as far as it can in terms of the sanctions to try and disable Russia to some extent, but we can't control what's happening in the rest of the world. That's what you're saying. And what President Zelensky is saying is, if Russia wins in Ukraine, Europe is next, or the rest of the European Union is next. They're on the border.
There's no question but that of the seriousness of the threat of Russian aggression. And as I said, last week, and as the Taoiseach has said, and as the previous Taoiseach has said, we are hearing constantly from our friends in Baltic states about the threat of Russian aggression. The European Union has been very, very strong. We are sharing a continent with our European friend, neighbour, and we hope soon to be a member of the European Union, Ukraine, and we provide full political support in Ireland to that. We are aware of the difficulty in the US, which is why the European Union tried to get ahead of that with the €50 billion funding package. But there is no question but that Europe continues to have to step up to meet the needs of Ukraine as far as it can. And the sanctions package is going as far as we can, and we continue to try to improve it.
So what happens then? It's not a helplessness.
It's about reflecting the reality of the difficulty that Ukraine is facing and making sure that we are mobilising everything we can as Europeans to support it. Now, in Ireland, of course, we don't provide lethal weaponry. We don't provide that sort of support. That's outside of what we do. But it is important that, you know, other European leaders are discussing how best to provide the support that continues to be needed and how that those needs might be met.
What about Ukraine's EU membership? Is there something that could be done there that could help, do you think?
Well, you know, Ireland was one of the first to try to provide support for Ukraine's EU accession and membership and remains incredibly committed to that. And along with the European, with neighbours like Moldova. So that will be continued to be progressed. But at the moment, I think what President Zelensky is particularly looking for is the very practical, necessary support that he needs. And I'm sure that will be a very strong focus of the leaders tonight and tomorrow.
You see, I'm just playing this out in terms of where we're at, because President Zelensky is sounding about as hopeless as I have heard him sound in the last 2 years. We're seeing an estimated 650,000 Ukrainian men of fighting age fleeing the country. They're not showing up for draft now. So there's a real morale problem within Ukraine after 2 years. They're tired and morale is very low. Part of that apparently is driven by the lack of Western funding for the weapons that they need. So if this goes the direction it appears to be going and Ukraine loses the war, what happens then? Do you understand the question?
From a defence perspective... I do understand, and that is one of the many reasons that Ireland has been trying to provide, and Europe has provided, tried to provide the best support it possibly can for Ukraine. And we are very aware of the risk of spread. You know, our friends in the Baltic states have been aware of that from day one and have continually stated that in very, very clear terms. It's important in Ireland that we understand and listen to those concerns as they are reflected to us by our friends in Estonia, our friends in Poland, right across the eastern border. We're very aware of that. And the situation in Ukraine is certainly grave. Ireland is doing everything it can in terms of bilateral arrangements. Ireland is doing everything it can in terms of providing support for the peace formula that President Zelensky is himself advancing. But at the end of the day, you know, this is a serious, very serious military situation in Ukraine. And it's, you know, it's important that this conversation is being had on the airwaves today, reflecting that and reflecting the seriousness right across Europe of what's happening in Ukraine.
I want to ask you now about Gaza, and I wonder what you think can actually realistically be achieved when it comes to the stated goals of getting a ceasefire in Gaza at this European Council meeting, given how divided EU members are on this issue.
Well, I mean, I think European leaders have now come to the Irish position, which is about an immediate ceasefire, which is about the unconditional and immediate return of hostages, and of course the immediate access for humanitarian support. That has always been Ireland's position, and that is the European Council position. Essentially, now we are at a very delicate. So that, you know, I think that is an important thing to say, that Ireland has been leading the way on that, and the Taoiseach Simon Harris has been very clear about his perspective on that also. It is obviously a very tense moment there more broadly because of the risk of escalation between Israel and Iran. There's on both sides, it is very, very important that everybody exercises restraint, that there isn't a further escalation in the Middle East as a consequence of the events over the last number of days. But that should not take away the focus from Gaza. That should not take away the fact that there continue to be civilian deaths, that there needs to be a ceasefire, the unconditional release of hostages, as I said, and the unhindered humanitarian access. So while we are aware and very concerned about the other matters between Israel and Iran and Iran's proxies and the risk of escalation, we mustn't also lose the fact that the focus on Gaza. And certainly, I think the European Council meeting and certainly Simon Harris's participation in that will very strongly reflect those Irish concerns.
But will it be an awful lot more talk, which is all we've seen really from the EU when it comes to what's going on in Gaza? A lot of talk and a lot of disagreement.
Well, I think if you look at the trajectory over the last 6 months, there was a very, very divided position in the first instance. Obviously, you know, the events have continued and escalated, and European leaders have come more to a more agreed position, and one that is aligned with the Irish position of an immediate ceasefire. So I think you've seen better convergence over time, and that's important given the level of division within the EU and the level of division that remains in terms of perspectives on this. But it has, you know, they have certainly come to the Irish position in relation to ceasefire, release of hostages and humanitarian access, of course. So I think it's less divided, Sarah, than it had been, and it's really, really important that Europe maintains that position now. But the facts are changing all of the time, and in the last 7 days or so, we've seen a real risk of a much more more serious escalation. And so it really is now a time for, you know, for restraint. It really is now a time for calm. We are very, very obviously, you know, concerned about our own peacekeepers in Lebanon, and the risk of escalation that there would or could be to the region more broadly as a consequence of the events between Israel and Iran of the last 7 to 10 days. So I think that will be a focus, but we must never, ever allow that to take away or distract from our very strong focus on Gaza.
I want to ask you finally about a domestic issue, because new figures out today show property prices have accelerated again in February. Average values of property across the country have risen by over 6% year on year. And the Irish Times reporting today that there's various different reasons for that. Supply pressures, interest rates expecting to be coming down, demand is driving prices forward again. But they also mentioned that prices have been lifted by various government affordability schemes, which have fueled activity within the first-time buyer segment of the market. Now, this is something that it has been, the opposition have been shouting about, isn't it? That these schemes that the government have put in place to, in inverted commas, help buyers buy their own homes will actually lead to increased prices for everyone.
These are challenges when you're trying to provide support, particularly to first-time buyers, who either through the Help to Buy scheme or through affordability measures. And we've always recognised the risk of escalation of prices, which is why the first-time buyer scheme applies to new builds and self-builds rather than the market across the board. I have to say, when I look at the BPFI, the Banking Payments Federation figures on mortgage drawdowns for first-time buyers, those figures are well in excess of 600 a week in the last quarter of last year, which is a very, very significant increase. So that's well over 600 first-time buyers every week drawing down, not being approved, but drawing down the mortgage for the purchase of a home. That is families, that is individuals.
Yeah, but the problem is they're also using government schemes to add to the cost of the house, which is driving up prices.
I recognise some of that, but recognise that the first time the Help to Buy scheme is only for new builds and self builds, and that was as much to try to stimulate supply in the market rather than simply apply to all homes, which would of course had an immediate inflationary impact. So those supports are trying to target support when somebody is buying or creating a new home to try to help them with the build costs or stimulate supply from the construction perspective to help them get those new homes that we need built.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for joining us this evening, Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill.